time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, we're on once again, and big good morning to all of you. Welcome to WWGH, and special guest today, Jeff Ruth. I think most of you have heard of Jeff Ruth, to say the least. And Terry Klein is here, too. You've heard of Terry. Terry's kind of, well,
not that special.
Yeah, he did a lot of special work to bring about the drive-in fly-in here over the weekend. Okay, now Jeff will be here just a little while yet. Now, if you wanted to call and talk to Jeff, you know our number is 740-383-9944. And, well, if you want to, I don't know what else I can say.
I just came in when I heard Terry was coming in to talk about the fly-in. Yeah. I said, I'll come in since I was there.
Yeah, Jeff and I were at the fly-in together. We tooled around in a golf cart.
We were going to have a gator for us.
Yeah.
But I was more comfortable in the golf cart. Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. The gator got commandeered, but as long as you guys were comfortable tooling around in a golf cart, that's all that matters.
And we also hauled a lot of people back to their cars, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
Yeah, we were a transporter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it worked out great.
Dave Troutman was one of them. Yeah, Dave Troutman. And it was funny. I saw him sitting there waiting for somebody to take him there, and I said, hey, let me wrangle Charlie and Jeff, take you to your car. I thought he meant out in the parking lot. He had a car in the show. It was a Mustang, wasn't it? A really, really nice-looking Mustang. 68, I think it was. Something like that. Yeah.
Oh, there are so many beautiful cars. My goodness, I couldn't get over.
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
It was amazing. 100 more than they had last year. So they doubled this year. 200 cars. So we don't have a number yet for the general aviation planes or the number of flights yet. I unfortunately was in a hurry and I didn't bring those numbers with me, but we flew a substantial number of people. But the amazing thing was the P-51 rides. They are $2,000 a piece. I was told that there were 5 flights in that P-51. So
Charlie and I weren't one of them.
Well, neither was I, but that lucky son of a gun, Rock McDavid, that guy, he got a flight. And those are half-hour flights, too.
I kept looking at that airplane thinking, what would it be like to, would you suffer much from the,
G-forces?
G-forces and all that.
Well, I don't think they would have put much stress, and dependent probably on the individual. If they were a seasoned citizen, they would have probably gone gentle on you.
Yeah. And a lot of helicopter rides, too.
Lots of helicopter rides.
Yeah.
I had those numbers. From what Dan Hempe emailed me, we were lucky. We got him on a Thursday afternoon, I believe it was, before the Saturday. He had nothing scheduled, and we lost the one helicopter operation, some kind of governmental snafu. But we were lucky enough to get him, and Dan Hempe told me that he is begging to come back next year.
So we got
that to look forward to.
That was a sharp-looking helicopter, too.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of helicopter that was.
I don't either. But
it was called Intrepid Helicopters. And if you Google them, go to their website, you can find out what kind of helicopter and see where they'll be next. We also had flights in the PT-19, which was a wooden airplane and cloth skin. They took quite a few flights, and then the Grumman aircraft, they call it a Traveler, they took a few flights. And that was Butler County Warbirds. And you may recall seeing them. They were dressed like a 1940s airline crew. and all of that.
And you know what I noticed? Cool. The ladies had seams in their hose.
Mm-hmm.
Which the...
Yeah.
No more
Jeannie,
seams and
Jeannie.
Hoses.
Charlie's kind of giving it away here. You'll have to give him heck when he gets home. He's looking at other women's legs.
Well, you couldn't help but see those seams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was funny because, what was it? They had a shortage of nylons or nylon in the war. And
well,
a lot
no
of
nylons
would
during
paint,
the war. Rayons.
They would paint their legs or whatever and paint the lines down the back.
Rayons like were the big thing. After the war was over, one of the first things that people ravaged the dime stores and other stores for was nylon. Because all the nylon was used for parachutes prior to the war or during the war.
What are dime stores?
Yeah, dime stores, yeah. Yeah. Well, now we've got that one store. What
the dollar store.
Yeah.
Dollar store and Dollar Tree.
Dollar Tree.
General. Dollar General and Dollar Tree.
Dollar Tree has that big outfit down there at 71 and 61. Jeff and they employ like 300 people.
Oh, the warehouse.
It's a national warehouse for Dollar Tree. Hmm. Oh, you wouldn't. I've never seen outside the Pentagon that much construction.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm. And where's that? 71 and where?
71 and 61, south of Mount Gilead. It's okay. Right where, you know, if you go through Mount Gilead on 61, you finally come. Remember the adult bookstore there?
Is that still there?
It's still the Lion's Den.
And there used to be a something pantry, and there's a BP station.
Yeah, the pantry's still there.
Dutch pantry, right?
Yeah.
Was that it?
No, this is a Red Inn, Red Roof Inn.
Well, there was a restaurant
it used to
there,
be
that's it,
called
the Red Roof Inn.
I think it was a Dutch pantry was the name of it. Yeah,
yeah.
Old restaurant, yeah.
So, yeah.
Kind of like a Bob Evans.
But anyhow, that whole area now is Dollar Tree.
Wow.
I mean, the restaurant, that's all still there, but you wouldn't believe the construction that took place there.
Mm-hmm.
Good for Morrow County.
Yeah.
A county that needs every little tax dollar they can get.
All right. Well, I'm going to bug out.
Oh, okay, Jeff. Hey.
Bon voyage. Or is it a bon voyage?
Stop by any time, because I got this refrigerator I'd like to sell.
I got 82 pallets of kitty litter I need to get rid of.
And there he goes, heading for lunch today. All right. Jeff Ruth. Okay, if Scott wants to come in, he's welcome. But, yes, going back to the weekend, I was hoping in the paper today there'd be some pictures. There were a lot of photographers I saw. Commercial photographers around.
There were some, and I don't know who they were.
Or what paper or whatever.
It would be nice if we could find out some of their images. But again, if you know anybody or if you're on the internet, Facebook, Marion Wings and Wheels, Inc., 501c3. We are very fortunate. Angela Potter has taken a lot of great pictures. She's got some gems in there of young kids having fun, families having fun. And that's what the whole idea behind the airport, the fly-in and the drive-in is all about. And if, we can inspire children to think in terms of science, technology, engineering, mathematics, STEM, get them into a vocation that could, who knows, one of these kids maybe has been inspired enough that they could be the first person to step foot on Mars.
Well, that's right. And I often think, too, Bob Nunley got his start in Marion. So did a guy you went to school with, Keith Sider.
Oh, Keith Sider, yes.
Who is
went to school with Bob and Keith, both of them.
And Keith is the top executive in the American Meteorological Society. I mean, he's the big guy. He's stationed in Boston, but he's from Marion. And he used to listen to Gil Gomez and I talking about weather every day, and that spurred him on. So it did the same with Bob Nunley. In fact, The first night of the Popcorn Festival, Bob Nunley was interviewing my granddaughter, who's Miss Teeny Pop. And he said, by the way, I understand your father is Charlie Evers. I said, yes. Well, if it wasn't for him, you know, and then he goes on about me being his influence on weather. And there he is now. So that's the, no matter what you do in life, if you can influence somebody in a good way, that's what really counts.
To become a productive member of society.
Yeah, that's right. That's for sure. So anyhow, we had the Popcorn Festival and then the big airport extravaganza. And it was kind of a different crowd for that because we didn't have rows and rows of places to eat or things to eat.
Right.
This
well,
was more.
Yeah.
We had two Black Hawk helicopters. And I tell you, remember the line of people that stood there while they wound up the one to take off?
Oh, gee.
Oh, my goodness. Solid line of people across from it.
Yeah, and that's something to thank Captain Louisa White and I believe it's Staff Sergeant Vincent Vallone.
Yeah, right.
The Marion Recruiting Station.
They were sitting right where you are.
And also Staff Sergeant Dustin Smith of the United States Marines. They, even though we weren't able to get the Osprey this year, we're working on it for next year and working with the Army for next year. We're really appreciative of their efforts. And then we had, I believe it was Staff Sergeant Carter with the Air Force, had an activity trailer over there. We're appreciative of him showing up and contributing to the whole party. But, you know, the folks that made this possible, all of these sponsors and the volunteers and the service partners in that, Marion should really be proud because this is the fifth anniversary, was the fifth anniversary.
It's hard to imagine there's been five of these already.
5 years already.
Wow.
You know, it goes by fast. I'd like
sure
to know
does.
Where the last 50 years of my life went. But, hey,
yeah. You know. All the work it takes. The groundwork, work by internet, work by phone.
And, you know, you mentioned groundwork. This is the third year, I believe, second or third year, that we've had a fellow come up from Florida to help with this event. Gary Garrett came up. He's the guy who commandeered your gator.
Oh, okay.
Well, anyways, Gary, this is the second or third year that he's come up and helped out with all the ground crew work and all of that. He used to be he used to run the Sebring Air Show down in Sebring, Florida. So we're extremely appreciative of him coming up and making a commitment and working with us and doing a tremendous amount of work.
Okay, and I think the military part of this is so necessary and brings people galore too. Those two Black Hawk helicopters and all the other, it's you know, it worked out so great.
The medevac helicopter came in from Fort Knox.
Yeah, all the way from Fort Knox, Kentucky.
And I think Beitler,
and
whatever
east
that
of Columbus,
is down there.
East of Westerville.
Or maybe it came from Rickenbacker. I don't
it
know.
It could be, yeah.
The Air National Guard, the Ohio National Guard Black Hawk helicopter that was there. So oh, and, you know, again, I can't remember if I mentioned it. Don Wilson's buddy, Charlie Cartledge, bringing in the PBM Avenger.
Oh, was that something?
That was just something completely unexpected, and it just added a lot more to the day
for
the
did.
Spectators.
What a plane, and people gathered around that. This plane, the Avenger, was stationed, or is, I don't know if it's owned by Liberty Aviation.
Well, I believe it's Don Cartledge's plane, but it's hangared up there at
right.
the Liberty Aviation Museum at Port Clinton. And folks should go up to that aviation museum at Port Clinton. It is just something it'll make you go, wow.
That's right. And the time we went down to the Urbana Airport, to Grimes Field in Urbana, Boy, they're...
They got a B-17 they're putting together from pieces and parts.
And you can walk among the volunteers working there. They have a little museum, quite a large museum there. And then down the way, there's a man who specializes in restoring old aircraft, no matter how old they are, restoring them to the, well, the fine point.
He was building that one. I can't remember what it was. It was something similar to the trimotor, and it was all wooden frame.
That's right. It was an airplane that originated the saying about the jumpers that jump into forest fires. That's the type of plane.
Okay,
or
I can't
that plane.
Remember. So yeah. It was a whatever. Yeah, it, whatever it you called call those,
firemen.
Smoke jumpers. Yeah. Yeah. Smoke jumper plane.
Right, right. Yeah. And boy, it was from the late 20s, I think.
That's what I seem to recall.
But all the Grimes Field is just oozing with aviation.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it
sure
is.
Some of these airports. And then, you know, we've got the new terminal building. It's underway. They're doing ground prep and everything. A year from now, it should be up and operational, even less than a year, maybe June, July. So it'll be ready for folks to see at next year's fly-in.
Have they decided what to do with the old building?
I don't know. It is hoped that they'll at some point get a new roof put on there, turn it into a museum of the history of Marion's aviation.
Yeah, we've got a lot of museums around Marion, but I don't know if we have Stingletrew anymore. I used to conduct a lot of tours of Stingletrew Museum, but that's now the headquarters for the Community Foundation.
Right, yeah.
So I don't know if they've kept those hundreds of antique guns and all the...
There were no guns or swords or anything when I was up there a couple years ago at the open house that they have early December. It's on business after hours or whatever it is for the chamber and that.
There once was a dentist in Marion by the name of Stengel, and he collected all that. And it took 2 days at an auction to sell off a lot of stuff, and yet he had enough to equip that whole house. And we're going to break here in a few seconds, so stay tuned. We have another half hour to go here, and your calls are welcome. 740-333-9944. And you're listening to WWGH.
You know, Scott, when President Trump announced he was running for president, I called him an egotistical jerk.
Yes, I do remember that. Has your mind changed?
Well, no.
No?
See, you thought I meant that in a negative way. Rookie mistake.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Okay, we're back once again with Terry Klein. Yes, Terry, a lot of things have happened in Marion, and there's nothing, I mean, we've got the additions of the steel plant, Nucor, we've got the Poet, and
Union
which...
Tank Car Company had a big...
Oh, the Tank Car
building,
Company, yes.
Big building built there off of Kenton Avenue.
There's
too.
Three big ones right there. Now, the latest... folks that are taking some of Ted Graham's space in the old Marion Power Shovel, that company out of Canada that makes pet food.
And you're trying to remember the name, and I'm trying to remember the name, too.
It's Terrell or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And so there's a lot happening, but people need to know specifically. Ted Graham, for instance. Ted Graham has, I don't know how many businesses, out there in his industrial park, but it's full of trucks and trains.
Well, I was surprised. I drove by the other day. All of those thousands of cars, the Volkswagens, are all gone.
Gone.
So I'm sure ever since he knew that when the last day of the last car would be gone, he's been hustling trying to get folks in there and to full capacity.
Yeah, he's been able to, I think, store some of the maybe overproduction from Honda. And also there was a whole line of trucks stored out there recently. Mm. So, Ted, I tell you, there's a one guy with...
He knows business.
Oh, boy, doesn't he?
He knows how to conduct business.
And nicest guy you'd ever meet.
It was nice to see him. He made it to the VIP
reception. Yeah, he was out there, yeah.
And he was at the fly-in.
Right.
And he told me he was surprised. He couldn't believe how big the fly-in was. So,
yeah, that's
good. A lot of people were impressed. And hopefully that'll kind of keep things rolling and keep the momentum going.
That's right. It takes so much effort to put on something like that. It takes a group of people working hard, and it's hard to explain what all it takes. But you can see by the extent of what happened there on Saturday, it was great. And Friday night, the reception was the greatest food you'd ever want to eat. Oh, my.
The only bad thing was, it's kind of a good thing. When we saw the documentary, nobody expected to have a sauna that evening. Unfortunately had to shut the hangar doors so we could have enough darkness to see the documentary. And it was kind of warm.
It got a little sticky, yeah.
Yeah.
For a little while.
Yeah.
But it's over and it was a success. And I can only imagine the planning will have to go in to stage one like this next year. Wow. Yep.
There were no injuries and no one died. It was a success.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. And people, I'm sure if you could talk to a few, really enjoyed themselves. In fact, 7403-399-44 is our number. If you'd like to call us, maybe you're out there, give us your impression. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah, let us know. Do we need to bring the plane train back? Do we need to keep the pedal planes there? What would you like to see there? Call us. Let us know.
And the thing is, it was free, but only free because of all the donations you were able to come up with to support this big venture. Because you probably had to rent that train.
The plane train, I don't know what the deal was with that, but I'm sure we gave a donation to them or something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And last year, the, what was it? I'm trying to think now. Oh, the pedal planes. Mm-hmm. You had to get a lot of donations to build those.
Well, we got sponsors. We got 10 sponsors.
Yeah.
And they had advertising on there for their plane. And
that's still there, of course.
They had it for 2 years, and then they have first right of refusal for renewing.
Oh, really?
For next year.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we were able to acquire those planes through sponsorship. They belong to Marion Wings and Wheels, Inc., and then they got 2 years of advertising and promotion. And this year it's up, and they will be the first ones to be called. Do you want to keep your advertising on that plane or not?
Well,
and we'll go from there.
And to see the smiles on those kids' faces as they pedaled their little hearts away, it was so good. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yep, you can enjoy all of that. I sound like a broken record, but if you go to Facebook, Wings Marion Wings and Wheels, Inc., 501c3, and you go to the group page, you'll get to see just about everything that happened there, and you'll see the fun that maybe you unfortunately were able to make it, but you'll be able to share in that fun.
Yeah. Well, Terry, trying to think, too, Scott was talking about some of the past ventures of different things in Marion. Now, you graduated what year? Harding High School?
74.
74.
Mm-hmm.
Golly, I graduated in 52.
Wow.
There's a little difference, yeah. And I think this could be my last year to do anything because, I'm slowly fading away. But
You know, I'll turn 80.
It's mind over matter. Yeah. If you don't mind, it don't matter.
Once you hit 85, you got to do something to keep your head above water.
But look at Harold Brown. He's 95.
Yeah. Oh, and Kensel Clutter.
Tuskegee Airmen. Yeah. Kensel Clutter will be 100 in December.
Well, that's amazing. And Kensel still gets around. And oh, boy, that's something. If Scott wants to come in and join us, he's welcome. That's for sure. But he was talking this morning about some of the older events in Marion, like the famous circus elephants that mowed down the Red Apple restaurant. Mowed only half of it, split it right in half.
But that was a truck and not an elephant.
It was
right?
A truck.
Yeah.
Full of elephants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think the driver fell asleep. Now, Phil Reed told me he was on the fire department at that time, and he answered that call. But some people this morning I heard thought it was a train wreck and things like that. It's amazing once you get away a few years how everything, you get all these different
stories. They become I don't know what you call it. But, you know, there's a place before you come into Iberia, 309, a bend, and there's like a quarry there.
Yeah, right.
Well, friends of mine live right there, and they share the quarry. And his brother-in-law was a scuba diver. And everybody that he had ever ran into, and he was a principal at Iberia Elementary School, he said, people said, yeah, there's a car wrecked in there. They went off the road, this and that. Well, it's a very shallow quarry. They started digging for shale or clay for the brick plant. And he said they were in there, and, you know, there's no rocks or anything. It's just somewhat shallow. It might be maybe 20 feet some deep, but it started filling with water. But there aren't any cars in there or anything. And there's a car there. There's this Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah. The same thing came about with Owens Quarry.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody said there was a train in the bottom of Owens Quarry, and there was this and that. I talked to the man whose father managed that whole operation, and he said at one point, Cliff Owens, who owned the whole operation there, said, we're done. The quality of limestone being produced wasn't good enough. We're closing it up. Turn off the pumps and let the quarry fill. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
There was no disaster or anything like that. It was on purpose. You let it fill with water.
It's like Crystal Lake. I can remember as a kid, Dad took us. We were hiking around back behind Bargain City, Crystal Lake. You could see where the old swimming pools were.
Yes.
And then at one section, you could see. Now, I don't know if this was roller coaster or a small train that they used when they were excavating and all of that stuff. But you could see a little tracks there. I can't remember if we saw a car or something or other in there.
Yeah.
But this was towards, as I recall, closer to where Bargain City was and not over on the northern side.
There was a guy by the name of Joe Grounds that did a research, I don't know how many years, and had a manuscript of everything that he could remember and found out, pictures and stuff. And one time he even gave me, for out of curiosity, the death certificate for the man who was killed on the Ferris wheel.
Wow.
Well, some guy in an early model car pulled up and hit one of the guy wires, and it snapped and whipped, killed the man coming down the roller coaster.
Gee whiz.
He was from Galleon. He was there with his girlfriend.
Just think what that death certificate would be worth if it was Warren G. Harding's.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've got... I don't think I could ever get together all my things in order before I pass on. I've got a nice letter somewhere from John Glenn. I interviewed him at the fairgrounds one year, and he appreciated that so much he sent me a letter right away.
Wow.
And so that's stored in one of my books, I think.
You know, people who take the time to do something like that, those are definitely special people.
Yeah, oh, for sure. But every time I start going through some of my things, boy, it brings back so many memories. But one thing, you know, they were talking about the Red Apple restaurant, and I used to eat there every day when I worked at the radio station. I was making 75 cents an hour at WMRN, and I couldn't
you
afford...
You hit the big time, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I couldn't afford... It, a lot of dinners were up to a dollar or a dollar and a half, and that was meatloaf and a piece of white bread and a pat of butter and a cup of coffee, and that was my dinner. But one day I was at the Red Apple, and I noticed they had, well, in their pie cabinet, they had a row of new pies in there, but something else that was enjoying those pies, and that was a mouse. He was hopping around on those pies. Oh, my goodness. But anyhow, there was a waitress there, Rosie was her first name. I don't know what her last name was. Rosie was married on roller skates at the...
Root Beer Stand?
At Crystal Lake.
Oh, at Crystal Lake?
Yeah.
Wow.
And later, after she left, after her job at the Red Apple faded away due to those elephants, she took a job as a custodian at the Southland Mall. And Rosie was there for years. I'm sure she might be gone by now. Just a short, little, kind lady. And I can still see her with her waitress cap on at the Red Apple. Wow.
You know, that's a shame. The Southland Mall has gone to such waste.
Well, most malls have gone that way, too.
Well, you know, that's not really a major mall like a lot of the malls, but I think the big box retailers, they're starting to fade away, and, you know, the internet and everything. But the mall is, I don't know. Lots of things could be done to try to boost that. You know, it's like downtown Marion. It's going to take, it's a big job. Will it ever be revived? Who knows, but you just keep plugging away at it.
I tell you, every morning when I drive in here, coming down Center Street, zigzagging, oh, what do visitors say, or people just passing through Marion? What's going on here?
Well, you know, they didn't make it crooked enough. If they had made it crooked enough, it could have been a tourist attraction like Lombard Street in San Francisco.
Scott, do you remember when Hillary Clinton came to Marion in 2016?
Yes, I do. I stood outside of the Harding Hotel in the rain waiting to get an interview that didn't happen.
You know why she chose the Harding Hotel to meet?
No, I don't.
Well, they used to have a hair salon in the lobby, and she could sure use it.
Here we go again. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. Terry Klein, my guest this morning. And we can talk a little bit about things that were, too. We were talking about, of course, the big show at the airport over the weekend, which is so fabulous. But Terry, I heard Scott talking about answering questions or having people comment about, like, where was the Isley shop in Marion? Well, there were a couple of them. That one under the overpass on Prospect Street, or just north of the overpass.
That was Isley's.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember that because Gene Hypes, I'm trying to think, he didn't have... I don't think he had an office under there, but I remember getting my teeth taken care of. We went there. We'd get a certificate for an ice cream cone from the dentist.
Well, what I remember, that was the second location of Cervex Electronics.
Where was the first?
The first was over on State Street in an old grocery place.
I remember the Isley shop that was down there by Turner Hardware.
Yeah.
And then now that you mention it, yeah, the Isley shop that was there at the Prospect Street overpass, and then right there at Greenwood and Center Street.
Oh, Greenwood and Center was there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Angelo Doria?
Oh, that one. Yes.
That was Isley's, right?
I've got a picture of the grand opening of that.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Bob Mason, who owned the radio station, had a microphone, I think, in his hand, and I've got the picture, an 8x10, of the grand opening of that door to the new Isley plant that made ice cream, processed milk or cream.
Mm-hmm.
And there were rumors that Mrs. Isley had that building built to withstand an earthquake. Now, I never could get that confirmed, but when it faded away, the supports that held that building up were very interesting.
Substantial.
Yeah.
Substantial. That was the style. I can't remember the architect. I saw a thing years ago. One of the General Motors plants or offices. I saw it somewhere where that's the way they built them in the late 40s, I think early 50s.
Yeah.
And that's a substantial building when they renovated that.
And that building sat there vacant for such a long time. And the basement was full of water. I'm surprised someone didn't drown in that. Because I worked next door to it for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was horrible.
And then you remember that was next door. There used to be a Shell gas station. That's where cable TV first started in Marion, that Shell gas station. And then there was Hay Jar's Cleaners in that old Victorian brick building.
I've got the original contracts for the cable company, what they had to supply, and all their equipment was listed.
Wow.
I've got so much stuff.
Gee whiz.
I had the original incorporation for the WMRN. I inherited all their financial papers and everything else because they didn't know who else they could give them to other than me since I was there the longest.
Do you have any paperwork that has Rod Serling's signature on it?
No, I don't. No. And I stayed in the same boarding house that Rod Serling did, but it was only after he left.
And that was on Bain Avenue,
Bain, 192
it?
Bain. Mm-hmm. And my room was the room that he had in the front end of the house. So I can say I slept in the same bed that Rod Serling did.
Did you ever have any nightmares?
No, I never did. He wasn't famous when I was there.
Yeah, but he was still writing. And
yeah, he was writing, so. Yeah. 1952. And I tell you, I had a 1938 Pontiac I drove to Marion from Bucyrus before I got that room. And then after I got that room at Mrs. Kerr's boarding house, my car was so old and dilapidated, I had a kerosene lantern I kept burning underneath the car in the wintertime to keep the oil halfway warm so it'd start. I mean, that was can you imagine? A kerosene lantern. I lit it every night to keep that car heated up.
You lived dangerously.
Yeah, I sure did. Oh, my goodness. But that's a thing of the past. That was when I was hired in at 75 cents an hour. And I remember the first raise I got, I think they got me up to a dollar or something like that. But I ate over at the Red Apple. I ate down at the Footlong hot dog stand, and they were 35 cents. For the footlongs, and then I ate out of the Lance peanut jar. Somebody Lance, you know the Lance
crackers.
Yeah, they had those glass jars in a rack, and every so often they would refurbish everything. But a lot of us, making next to nothing at the radio station, a lot of times had to take a pair of peanut brittle or something out of there. Say, well, I'll pay you later.
Kind of like Wimpy, lend me a hamburger today, I'll glad you pay you whatever yeah. It was his line
but,
was.
And that went on for a long time. I can still see that rack as plain as day. But then I was, and always have been, a ham radio operator since 1949. So when I went to work at the radio station, I was actually able one night to unhook the antenna from the transmitters and put it on my ham radio. And
I'm sure
good.
The FCC would love to have heard about that, wouldn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they sure would have. But that was fun. Yep, I had my own little corner of the basement of the radio station with my receiver and transmitter. Mm. That was a long time ago.
That reminds me, you, tell the audience, someone new was on the board and you were down in the basement and there was a hole where cables would
yeah.
go down.
The operating position at the console in the main studio, there was a hole in the floor to run cables apparently at one time. And every time we got a new engineer in, I would sneak down the basement and reach up through that hole and grab his ankle. Poor, I was always doing things like that. And the guy would scream. Oh, my. That was fun. I'd just laughing.
Well,
yep.
You know, the city of Marion has missed the opportunity. Of course, they could still do it. You need to be christened the Commander of Fun.
Well, I was. I was always, like I found a land crab. Now, these are crabs like out of the water, but they live in the ground. And I found one and took it in and put it in the secretary's desk. And when she opened that drawer, the screams could be heard everywhere. There's that live, like miniature lobster crawling in her. Mm-hmm. Oh. And then one time, I of course, I worked with a, you know, on the groundhog business for years. And I would, when the groundhog would come out, I would track him to see where he went. But first, before he went anywhere, he had to go to the bathroom. And it was a yellowish color at first because he had been hibernating all through the winter and living off his fat. Well, then when he was out a day or two, he had to start eating bark and other things, and it changed the color of his output. But I found some of the dried output, put it in a plastic box, and took it to the, into the radio station and told some of the girls there. I said, "Now, you girls want to watch what you eat, and you're, I know some of you might want to, you know, watch your weight and everything. But I've got the perfect thing here in this tray, these fiber pills." And so they reached for them, and I stopped them just in time. Mm. But see, I was. Instead of, I don't know. I was just having fun.
Today you would be the target of Me Too.
Oh, boy.
You would be in there with Bill Cosby.
Yeah. Oh, and then the worst thing I ever did, though, maybe, we had to have a boy replace Frank Smith, our janitor, when Frank was on vacation. And this young boy didn't know what to do, so he would come to me and say, "Now, what should I be doing today?" And so I said, "Well, see those weeds out there by the flagpole, blue, red, all these different colors. Yeah, pull up those weeds." And he went out and they were flowers. I stopped him, you know, after he pulled one or two. Then he came to me one day and he said, "Mr. Evers, what do I do on Saturdays here? What did Frank do?" I said, "Well, that's easy. He polished Mr. Mason's shoes." And so that poor kid went in. What was his name? Blankenship? Something. He went in to Bob Mason, the owner, and said, "Is it time now to get your for me to shine your shoes?" And he told me, Bob Mason just looked at me and said, "Did Evers send you in here?" Well, that's just some of the things out of the past that were fun. Didn't harm anybody, that's for sure. But, yeah, I've done things. I climbed up to the top of that tower twice in my younger years and to do some work on it, you know, tighten bolts and look at this and that. And that was a thrill to climb up 300-some feet and look over Marion. Wow. I could even see the top of a couple of buildings in Delaware.
Really?
Yeah, it was that,
wow.
that high up. That was fun.
300-some feet.
367 feet.
It's that tall. Son of a gun.
Yeah. And now Dave Aiken's raised his antenna. He's added 40-some feet to it.
How tall does that make them?
I don't know, but I can only imagine the paperwork it took to add another piece of structure there mm-hmm. because of the relationship to the radio station next door.
I don't quite understand it. He was telling me they don't need to paint their tower now. They have these strobe lights.
Oh, really?
They're supposed to have so many hours.
Oh.
I mean, and they only use the wattage of like a 40-watt light bulb.
Yeah.
And so that's going to cut down on their electricity bill. But they don't have to paint the tower red and white and that stuff anymore.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't realize.
So, you know, that's another good asset the community has. They have access
to
community affairs programs. If anybody goes out there and says, hey, I'd like to do a program, I'd like to talk about this or that, they would welcome you.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's we've got WWGH and TV39.
And Lights, Camera, Shop on Friday nights.
That's always entertaining.
8:30.
Always entertaining. They always put on a good show.
Yeah, they sure do. Oh, my goodness. Yep. I like watching and listening to Dave. Dave, and he preaches on Sundays at 1 o'clock.
But he gets so excited.
Oh, he does.
Camera Shop. He's like a little kid.
Yeah.
First Christmas where he knows what he wants and he knows Santa's going to bring it.
That's right. Oh, my. Well, anyhow, we've got about a minute and a half left in this program today. And once again, thanks to everybody that came and was involved in this weekend's Wings and Wheels. It was such a tremendous success. The weather was perfect, and the attendance was perfect. The people were so nice.
It was well done. And it looks like well attended and well appreciated and well supported.
Yes, support. Oh, my goodness. Without that tremendous support, you couldn't hold something like that because there are so much involved in expenses. I mean, you've got to pay to bring certain attractions in there.
Mm-hmm. Details, details, details.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've got about 40 seconds left. Can you say anything that would shake the world?
The world will end tonight at 12:15 a.m.
Hey, that reminds me of Halley's Comet. I've got a story about that. I heard somebody mention that on the air the other day. I've got a story about what really happened during the arrival of Halley's Comet years ago, back in the early 1900s. Well, that's it for me today. I'll be back tomorrow at the same time here on WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio.
I'm Charlie Evers, and I'll be on 10 till 12 today. And welcome your phone calls. Today, I'm going to leave it up to all of you to ask questions.
What you who are listening today to invest your time